All right, we are live and back, and we are here tonight with Karen and Jolene from Kep Paranormal, and they also have a site for the Festival of the Unexplained, and that's scrolling at the bottom down here. So, ladies, how are you this evening?
Good, thank you.
Actually, yeah, it's good, morning there you. For you, isn't it? It's morning there for you now, isn't it?
We're being little Cinderellas now. This is the witching hour for us. It's kind of, this is time for us to go to the ball.
All right.
We just need one.
My question that I usually ask, I try to ask this of everyone so they can actually let people know about themselves in their own words, is what got you started in the field of the paranormal? And I guess we can go either way here. Karen, you want to go first?
Yeah, normally I say, Joe, do you want to go first? I think usually we're telepathic and it's kind of like, you go next.
Yeah, we kind of work it. For me, it's originally been a working medium for the last 5 years. I have... was basically a same as Jerry, a born medium, so I've always been able to do it. Growing up, it's watching the TV shows and things over here, basically. That's what got me started, was all the different TV shows, watching that. There's a show called Ghost Watch over here. And that was one of the first ones, wasn't it, Joe? And it was... wasn't real though, was it? But it
no,
was just,
it wasn't.
It was just really good to watch. And then moving on a few years, got the opportunity of going on my first investigation. And it basically all happened from there. That was only 3.5 years ago. So I've only been doing this for 3.5 years. So basically, that's in a nutshell, that's how I got started. I got this opportunity of these tickets just came up on Facebook. It's like, do you know what? Let's go and see what this is all about, you know. One of our friends used to go regularly, and he's like, you need to come. Look, he said, I'm going to get you a ticket to go somewhere. When there's tickets available next time, I'm going to let you know. We all need to go. These tickets came up on a car selling page, of all things, because that's what we were looking for at the time, not tickets to an investigation. And it just so happened the investigation was literally at a hotel, like 5 minutes from our house, literally 5 minutes driving distance. And it had been sold out for 6 months. And these three tickets came available. So my husband and our friend, all the three of us went together. And it's kind of just spiraled from there, basically. 2 weeks later, I was part of a team. The team that I actually went to the investigation with, they advertised for a new team member. My husband and I, it was a joke, but we were both like, yeah, should we just apply for a laugh? You know, no chance we're going to get the opportunity to join this team. You know, it's our first investigation. They knew it was the first time we ever did it. It's not going to happen. So let's just apply for a laugh. We're not going to get it anyway. And then we got a response saying, yeah, we're going to take you both on. So it that's kind of how it all started for me, basically.
Well, that right there, your explanation of it kind of sounds to me like it was in the stars for you, that it was there waiting for you to discover it.
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mine's a little bit different, though. It's kind of like, obviously, I've been a born medium, so I've had this since I was a child, and just growing up through my childhood, having various experiences and wanting to, you know, read books and research things. And then come 2016, I started to go through some marital issues and obviously which results in divorce and what have you, but I just wanted to get back out there and found that some of the events teams here in the UK were a little bit unified and a little bit a little bit regimented, and I wanted something a little bit different, so set up my own paranormal team. I started to do events, but then saw me being picked up by Celebrity Haunted Hotel, which was a live TV show here in the UK back in 2016 that aired on five nights across the Halloween period, which then led to quite a few other segments for some major primetime TV shows here in the UK as well. And then I started to do Britain's Scariest Hauntings and the World's Scariest Hauntings, and most recently, Most Terrifying Places. So no stranger to the field at all here in the UK, but also we're both now kind of making waves over in the US, which is fantastic for us.
That is awesome. That is very awesome.
The funny thing is, I watched that show, the first one, Celebrity Haunted Hotel, and I didn't know Jolene then, obviously. And then when we did meet a couple of, was it 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, however long it was?
Yeah.
And I said to my husband when I first met her, I recognise her from somewhere. I don't know where I recognise her from, but how can I recognise her? This is just weird. There's no reason why I'd recognise. She's not been on an investigation we've been on, so I don't know where I know her from. And it turned out it was from watching her on TV. It's a bit weird.
So I'm blushing. I'm going red now.
It's pretty cool. It is pretty cool.
I thought it was amazing when I realised. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, it's great because I've worked alongside Nick Groth as well. I helped him to find the location for the Black Monk House, which he did Paranormal Lockdown over here, which was brilliant in itself. So, you know, it's I think it's always great when you kind of get to meet these people and, you know, you just realize that everybody is down to earth and everybody's exactly the same as you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll confess, I love watching some of the British shows. I've seen a lot of them that are really cool. But I'm kind of not certain of some of the names. I know one of them. Oh, one of my favorites, though, my absolute favorites, is the Doctor Who series. I absolutely love that. But I think Black Mirror is another one that was a British show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
Yes, and I love that one. That one was really, really well done. So, but enough of that. I don't want to get off on too much of that. We're here for you. We're here to hear about you guys. So do you have any interesting experiences throughout the time that you were doing this that you want to share with us?
Go on, Joe. You got to tell them about the EVP.
Oh, my goodness. Which one?
EVPs are awesome.
The one. When you were in America.
That was just fantastic, to be perfectly honest. We've had a couple of airy moments, haven't we, throughout the UK investigations that we did.
Yeah, but a few.
I think the one that kind of sticks in my mind is the one that I came to Detroit to spend some time with my friend Todd Bonner. He took me to the Eloise Asylum down in Detroit, and I'd never been to the place, never looked at any TV shows. But prior to my arriving in the US, I had a very vivid dream about a staircase, which was really strange. And I literally had seen what I could only describe as a staircase that belonged in a house. And it had orange and blue paint peeling off the walls. Now, obviously, being a medium, this obviously was significant to me, and I couldn't understand why. But the gentleman who'd actually told me about this was named Robert. Now, as I was going around the Eloise, it was coming to about dusk time, so around about 4 o'clock, and we're talking just the day before New Year's Eve, so it was December the 30th last year. And as soon as I walked in, I was met by Joe Posey and his wife, Tonya, and their daughter, Marley, and a couple of other, Tonya Fightmaster was there as well. And there's about six of us. And literally, they said, "Have you ever been here before?" And I said, "No." I said, I'm just intrigued to find out what's happening with, you know, with the activity. I've heard so much about it, but I've not researched anything. I just want to come and experience what I can experience. And I'm walking down through the main cellar hallway. I was I was picking up on it on a negative, like a negative entity. I wouldn't say he was too negative. I just wanted to say like he was a male entity who was flitting in and out of all of the rooms, but making me feel like I wasn't welcome there, but also other people weren't welcome there. And as I was doing this like kind of walk around, I had my voice recorder on and I was talking to everybody saying, this happens in here, this happens in here. And, you know, one of the girls was like, oh my God, you know, there's no way you could know that. And literally we walked to the end and there's like a small ceramic room right on the end of this corridor. And there's a couple of double doors at the back of it. So if you stand and face the ceramic room, right behind you is some double doors that are chained together. And we were all stood in a circle and he was saying to me, I'm going to scare you. I'm going to scare you. And I was like, I know you're here. You can't scare me. You know, this is not going to happen. And we were just all chatting. And on the voice recorder, you can actually hear me say, can you tell me, Joe, where this staircase is? Because I've been having dreams about it. It's got a window at the bottom. It's got a window at the top. It's got blue and orange paint on there. I said, but I can't seem to see it anywhere here. I said, you know, can you tell me where it is? Because bearing in mind, these guys do tours of this place every single day and every single weekend. So they would have known where this staircase was. And then just out of nowhere, this voice over my right shoulder said, I told you that. And literally I jumped out my skin and I thought, you scared me. I can't believe this. But sure enough, I was the only person who heard it. And then it wasn't until I played the voice recorder back that everybody else had heard it. And then 3 minutes later, Marley said to me, I think I know where that staircase is. Took me through to the main entrance. And sure enough, there it was. Blue and orange paint peeling off the walls, everything that I'd seen and everything that I'd described. And then the best bit was I went to go and see Brenda at the Eloise Historical Village, and we were looking at some of the artifacts in there, and she was so kind, and she gave me a book that when I went home, Todd was working the next day, so I stayed home and I was reading through this book, and I came to a page and some of the names that I'd mentioned through the medium walk around had actually come up inside this book. So there was a nurse called Agatha that I'd mentioned. This gentleman called Robert was also mentioned. And when I opened up the book to the pages where all the doctors were stood, Robert was exactly as I described him right in the center of this book. And his name was Robert. So that's just something that I've never... You know, I've never come across that before, and it was just one of those wow moments, and I don't think anything's going to top that quite yet.
That's pretty cool. And EVPs again are awesome.
When you they are EVP,
those are the best proof you can get. It's a little difficult to really get anything on camera, but it is fun also when you can catch certain things on camera.
Yeah, too.
So, Karen, was there any kind of experience you've ever had that kind of you want to share with us?
A few. We've got one location that we've been to on many occasions, and we always seem to get a lot of activity, and we tend to always go in the same route, don't we? And
yeah,
most of the time that we've had the interaction, it's been myself, Jolene, and a friend of ours, Gary, and my husband, Eddie. And we've had the same spirit come through multiple times now, haven't we? Jolene's actually seen this spirit lady in my house. She's actually been in visitation to my house, which is a good thing because she's a nice person, thankfully. But it's not very often you can say that you've had experience at a location, had gone into trance mediumship, and I led the group. The one evening, I actually led the group whilst in trance to a different area. Basically, is it 3 miles of tunnels, isn't it, underground? Yeah. There's no electricity at all, so it's completely dark, it's cold, it's damp. But yeah, we took the whole group for a walk and said, they said, oh, just follow it. They just followed me. I don't know where I was going, what I was doing, because I was completely under. And I literally stopped about this far from a brick wall, because the brick wall hadn't been there long. They literally, they've been blocking up a lot of the tunnels, haven't they, in the past few months?
Yeah.
They're turning it into a museum. And I think the most scary, it's not spirit or anything else, the most scariest thing was coming back around and literally being that far from the wall. So if I hadn't have come back when I did, I'd have headbutted that wall. But the lady that I trance, she's actually one of the witches from there. And she refers to Jolene as the girl, doesn't she? And she's even come through and said that Jolene's going to be the eighth member of their circle. And I went to another location and she came through there as well. And like I said, Jolene's been to my house. And she describes this woman to a T. She's, well, I'm seeing this woman, and then she described her. Are you joking?
And she describes.
And it was madness, because the person she described was nothing to do with me, wasn't from my house, wasn't from my family. She was from this location. We don't think that's the first time, do we? It's just we don't know how many times she's been here.
Yeah. So it's just strange that when you sit there and you're sat at the kitchen table and I'm just like, okay, what's she doing here?
So basically, during your investigations, the spirit had attached itself to you.
Well, I don't know if she's attached. She's not here all the time. She's not with me all the time. She comes in visit. She comes and goes. She comes in visitation. Mm-hmm.
I don't actually think, I think she's something to do with one of Karen's past lives, if I'm honest, because the way she comes through, it's like she knows quite a lot about us, like both of us. And it's kind of like she understands whenever we go to Drakelow Tunnels, she knows that we're going there, and she's always there waiting for us as well. And it's kind of like every single time that we go, we uncover just a little bit more about how she was, and you know what the witches used to get up to in those tunnels. So it's kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion with her. And she just, you know, I think she just likes to look after Karen as well, if I'm honest, a bit like a guardian angel.
Well, yeah. I wasn't meaning like she attached herself to you like being evil or anything like that. I mean, you know, she's more looking after you.
Yeah. Well, when you came to visit, I've been going through chemo in the last few months, and so I haven't been going out investigating. And you didn't go on this occasion, but some of the others went to Drakelow, and that was like a couple of weeks before you came to visit, wasn't it? And then Jolie came to visit a couple of weeks later. We hadn't been, but our group had, and it was only a couple of weeks after that that she actually came to the house.
Interesting. Yeah. So it could be that she's, you know,
checking in
to make sure you're doing okay. So another thing I ask sometimes, if I remember to, because I like to know the kind of equipment people use. It's not to say, you know, you're using the wrong stuff or anything like that. I'm just curious on what equipment you use. And then I also compare it to see if it's something that I haven't used. And if it is something that I haven't used, then I usually ask about it. So is that something that you would like to possibly share with us too? Or
yeah, why not? I mean, obviously being mediums, the greatest tool that we can kind of use is ourselves, you know, and we do have all of the relevant tech, you know. We've got the ovulus, we've got, you know, we've got, oh my goodness, we've got a huge plethora of equipment that we use. But I think my favorite is probably the PSB7, which has just been upgraded to the new one. So the sound is a lot better on the new one. But that's the kind of thing that we like, because I always think that when people go on paranormal investigations, they don't just want to see the visual effects. They want to see the sounds. They want to hear the voices. And You know, there's nothing more satisfying for guests when they come on our events to actually listen to something relevant and answers to questions that you have. So a bit like the EVPs, really. We always have a voice recorder on us as well. So
we're a few.
Yeah,
I think, well, Eddie and I have got like 5 different ones because they all work off different frequencies. So I think we've got about 5 now. No, 6, because I had one from my as a gift for my birthday this year. So we've got 6 now.
That's a point I never thought of, those working off of different frequencies.
Yeah. More than we always do that because it doesn't matter where you are. If there's 5 of you all together, you've all got a voice recorder. Some of the voice recorders have picked up different things that, you know, the other voice recorders haven't. And you can even have that things as well.
We've had so many. We've had clear EVP of me before. There was 5 or 6 of us, like you just said. The other recorders didn't pick it up. The one recorder did, and it was a Class A EVP. Everybody heard exactly what it said.
Right.
And there was no mistake in it. So EVP, we do like our EVPs, but then Eddie's built a radio, hasn't he? So we've got a radio of our own that he's built for us that we take out with us, and we've had some really good responses through that. That's working well.
So the radio you're talking about, that would be similar to a spirit box, right?
Yeah, it's similar to a geoport. So it's very similar to a geoport. So it's got everything on the inside of there, but it's a one-off. You know, Eddie's made, you know, a couple of instruments for us, so to speak, that is, you know, just bespoke and one-offs that are just relevant to us.
Okay. Well, I was, you know, I'm just kind of curious, but you know, it's pretty cool that you guys are mediums. Do you do you work with crystals at all?
I've been bought, I don't know how many, especially when I was going through treatment, the amount of crystals that people bought me, I have no idea what half of them are for. But I kept getting these parcels coming with different crystals and things in, and this is good for this and this is good for this. I haven't got a clue what any of them were good for now. I've got a few, but I don't actually know what any of them are really for, to be honest.
See, I'm really lucky because my mum's a witch. So, you know, looking for crystals and things like that, I usually just, you know, point people in the direction of my mum and just say, you know, I've got no idea. I'm not a crystal person. And I think when you're in the paranormal, you either have one guise, you know, there's a lot of mediums out there who use different, and I'm going to say tools because we always say different mediums use different mediums and it's kind of not right. But they use different tools. So obviously being a natural medium, I don't need the cards. I don't need, you know, it's just literally straight into, you know, talking to spirit and things like that. And you know, some people use cards just to give them a little bit of a helping hand, which, you know, that's brilliant for them to do if that's what they want to use. But it's just, you know, I try not to use anything if I'm honest, just in case something goes wrong because I'm a bit clumsy.
Well, I was just kind of wondering because I've talked to some mediums who use the tarots, and then they also use crystals and candles and seance and, you know, and the meditations and stuff like that. But the way you're describing yourself, Jolene, you're one of the upper echelons of the...
Yeah, I'm like one of those little Pandora's boxes, I think, you know. If I did a podcast last night, actually, and literally as soon as the guy said, oh, does anybody want to read? And it was like this box just went and just opened. And literally 21 readings later in about half an hour, I was absolutely shattered. And, you know, all the things, all the comments that were coming through were spot on, you know, and I had so many lovely messages on my Facebook just to say, you know, I can't believe you said that, and that's so true, and this is what's going on. And it's kind of like you feel a bit like a counsellor sometimes, but, you know, I don't mind because I love helping people. But
I think you are, though, sometimes. I generally do believe that. And I think, unfortunately, I think sometimes – People book a reading with you because they think you've got all the answers and you're going to tell them all the answers. And sometimes Oh. Well, I thought, well, if I came with a question, you were going to answer my question, you'd know all the answers to it, but no.
Yeah, and I
don't have all the answers, unfortunately. Yeah. We have a few, but we can only give you what spirit give us. And that's
I think giving people advice as well is totally the wrong thing, because this isn't coming mm-hmm. from us. You're just a vessel at the end of the day, yeah. just to give people, you know, those messages from their loved ones that have come through, but also to give them validation. So the validation is, you know, oh, this lady did this and this lady did that. And you know, she heard you talking the other day about X, Y, and Z. And people are like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. But, you know, it's when you get the compliments, when they say that you're on another level and things like that. That's just, you know, when they've seen mediums work previously on Facebook and then all of a sudden you're just another level. To me, that's amazing, because I don't think I've ever had that confidence in myself to kind of sit back and go, oh yeah, I'm great at this. But, you know, obviously Karen knows what I'm like, but it's nice. It's humbling. It's, you know, it's really nice.
And it's good for me that other people have actually said it to her, because she doesn't listen to what I tell her. Because obviously we're so close. I'm going to tell her she's amazing, because to me she is, but she's not going to listen to me. But coming from other people, I'm glad that other people have actually told her now. So she might actually start listening now.
No.
I can only but hope.
I kind of understand how she, you know, with listening to how she's explaining herself, I can kind of understand. She almost sounds like a Libra.
No, I'm not. I'm a Sagittarian. It's my birthday next Tuesday.
Well, happy birthday early.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, just you do sound a lot similar to a Libra, because I'm a Libra, and I'm the kind of person that I like to help people if I can, but I hate asking for help.
Yeah.
I have this weird thing, and part of it I think is my OCD. If I can't accomplish it without help, then I don't need to accomplish it.
Thank you, Kayla.
Oh, that's my daughter, by the way.
Oh, that's your daughter and granddaughter there.
Oh, and my granddaughter. In the picture. But yeah, I try to help people as much as I can, and I hardly will ever ask for help, because I'm just that way.
You sound like me now.
So being in the UK over there, have you guys done any investigations in any of the castles or anything that are still left?
Yeah, like Dracula's castle.
Dracula's castle is not in the UK. It's over.
Doesn't matter.
Jesus.
We have some ruins which are in East Yorkshire called Whitby, in a place called Whitby, where Dracula was supposed to have landed back in the day. And that is reputedly to be haunted. But because it's an open air ruin, you can go and investigate, but there's always loads of people there. But some of the castles that we have, there's Gritch Castle, which has just been featured on a major primetime show over here, which they've closed the doors down, but there's been some investigations there in the past which have yielded results.
There's Warwick Castle.
Warwick Castle we've been to.
That's a great one there.
Yeah, with Aleister Crowley. So all, you know, the spirit of Aleister Crowley is supposed to haunt Warwick Castle. But I think here in the UK, the most prevalent venues that we have are the ones that have been publicized on, you know, the likes of Paranormal Lockdown and, you know, the Ghost Adventures and things like that. And, you know, the Black Monk House stands out because everybody wants to know about the houses, which are similar to the Hinsdale House and the Malvern Manor and the Ballista Axe Murder House, you know. And the Black Monk House, I've investigated that place probably about 10 times now. And it's one of those places that sometimes you get the results that you want, and sometimes it's just as dead as a doornail. Excuse the pun.
No, that's fine.
You just don't know. That's with any location, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's for any location. Yeah. You could just be sitting there talking to yourself for hours and not hear a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've had people who's been in this for years. I mean, even further long than 40. I have.
40 years is the longest veteran we've.
They have literally said that doing EVPs are some of the most boring things because you can sit there for hours and you're just sitting there talking to yourself because there's nobody else around. And if you don't get anything on the EVP, that's basically all you did is sit there and talk to yourself.
That's all right. I have a regular in my house and I don't even have a voice recorder going. It's called talking to my children.
You know, it's okay to talk to yourself, but when you start answering yourself, then it starts getting a little wicky.
I do that too as well sometimes.
I was going to say, I do that as well. What you want about? I do that all the time. I have the most amazing ideas. I agree with myself about them.
It's when you hear the voice, you know, you sometimes, because obviously I'm clairaudient as well, so I've got all of the senses. So it's when you hear that, Joe, and you're like, what? You're looking
around.
I had that today when I called, just before I called you this afternoon. I thought Eddie was outside cleaning the car, and I thought he'd come in. And he called me. Well, it sounded like him, but it wasn't him. So I came through the house and knocked out the front room window, and he was still outside cleaning the car. And I was like, oh, hello. Want to talk to me? And I, nothing. I was like, oh, okay. So you wind me up, basically. So you called my name and then now you're ignoring me. I said, fine, if you want to be like that, I won't bother talking to you either. And carried, and then just rang Joe and carried on doing what I was going to do.
You know, if that stuff started happening to me, I'd be looking for the straitjacket to be coming. You know? Bad enough, I tell people I hear voices as it is, but to actually have it happen, I think I'd be freaked a little bit.
I have had it happen.
It's just normal in this house. Jolene will tell you, there's all sorts in this house. So there's something in every bedroom for a start, and so you kind of get used to it. So you expect to. Well, you don't expect it, actually. When it does happen, people think, oh, you just make the assumption that you expect it all the time. And at first, the first few times, I was like, oh, I expect it to happen all the time. Nah. It's just whenever you're distracted or you're not expecting it is when you get it.
I haven't there got over go. that form of thinking yet.
So Tom's asking, how do you get over the hump of thinking you're crazy? Do you know what? I don't think you ever get over thinking... No. Am I crazy? Am I hearing things? Am I going around the twist? Is what we
is
say
there something
here in
wrong
UK,
with me?
And it's kind of like you have to get over it because if you sit there and think you're crazy, then you're going to start to convince other people that you're crazy and you belong in the nut house, which isn't good for anybody. And there'd be no paranormal investigators or mediums or anybody about if we started, you know, thinking that we were all crazy. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just, nah. I do think I'm crazy sometimes, but that's usually when I've had a few too many gins. And
we'll leave that conversation. Gins.
So are you a gin and tonic kind of person then?
Oh, here in the UK, I work in the alcohol industry during the day. So I work with spirits during the day and spirits during the evening. So it's always cool. So we have a lot of flavored gins here. So it's always nice to have gin and nice tonic waters.
There's nothing wrong with a nice gin. I never used to like gin, and then I made a friend of ours with some homemade gin. He makes all sorts, and I tried that, and it was this orange flavor. Wow, that's it. Now I like gin. I'm like, what other flavors they got? What else can we?
I went shopping today, and I found a strawberry and black peppercorn one, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna try that one.
No, I want for the cola cubes
like
one.
Interesting combination.
You guys in America, though, don't have the flavoured gins, which I find unusual because you
what
have...
What do you mean they don't have the flavours?
No, they don't. They have the London Dry gins.
We have
Tanqueray. They have, they don't even have Gordon's over there. They have Tanqueray. They have Bombay Sapphire.
I don't drink that kind of stuff. When it comes to, if I drink at all, it's Kentucky bourbon.
Oh, you see, that's good.
I am disappointed now. I'm a single batch. It has to be single batch, and it's got to be aged at least 9 to 10 years. That's my drink of choice.
I'm gonna try it when I come over. I'm gonna try it just because I got it. Yeah,
and I'll be picking you up off the floor when you've had it.
Probably, I don't drink, do I? I know. My idea of having a drink is having one glass of wine, and that's it. They're like, no, I've had one now.
Oh, then if you like wine, you have to go to California, Napa Valley.
Yeah, quite partial to a lovely Malbec.
I've listened to it.
They have some of the best wines in California.
Mm.
That's what they say.
I originated there.
I don't know. Some people would argue with you.
I don't know.
Some people would say it comes out of Italy.
If you do try a Kentucky bourbon, one of the best is Knob Creek. It's a 9-year-old. It's a 9-year-old single batch Kentucky bourbon. Oh, my daughter Kayla is asking where you guys live in the UK.
Oh, in the Midlands. I'm in the Midlands, so in the middle of West Midlands. So, trying to think of big cities near me. The nearest big city is Birmingham. And you're.
Well, I'm just outside of Leeds, so it's kind of I'm in between at the moment, though, because I spend a lot of time at my partner's house and I spend a lot of time here. But I live in Leeds, but I spend a lot of time in North Wales as well.
Okay. And that's in conjunction to the City of England. Where is that?
You mean the London city?
Or London, I mean, yeah.
Okay, London is probably two hours away from Karen and probably about 3.5 hours away from me.
Okay, so you...
And about 4 hours away from Edinburgh in Scotland for me and about 5 hours for Karen.
Okay, so you're a little further to the north.
I'm further north,
Further north, and I'm in the middle.
I've seen maps of England. I've seen and we're kind of where London is and stuff. That's why I'm kind of, my daughter calls me the human GPS. I hardly ever get lost.
Well, basically, if you look on the map of England and you see like the big nose that juts out on the right hand side, if you just look straight across that line where that nose ends and smack bang in the middle, that's where I live. And then if you just move that cursor down slightly, just a little smidgen, that's where Karen is.
Yeah.
So you're in good area there. That's a lot of open.
It's great
land
because everywhere is accessible. You know, literally within a couple of hours, we can be in London. A couple of hours, we can be in Scotland. A couple of hours, we can be in Wales. You know, and then a couple of hours over the water, and we can be in Ireland. So,
sounded like me over in California, where I lived in California. I was 2 hours away from being a mile high in the mountains, 2.5 hours away from being. Spending the day on the coast.
Wow.
And we're 5 hours away from being in Las Vegas and spending the day there and losing my money.
See, I'm only about 10-15 minutes from one of the main airports as well, so I'm all right. I haven't got a lot of traffic or want to jump on a plane somewhere. Not that we can at the moment anyway.
You know, you could have did what I did when it came to Vegas. You could have went to Vegas and came back married, you know.
I did one time.
Oh my God. Please don't tell me you got divorced 24 hours later.
No, I didn't. I'm still married. 17 years. I got divorced 17 years later.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah.
No, I married my wife about 10 years. Yeah. Well, it'll be about 11 years ago, Valentine's Day.
Oh.
and we got married in Vegas. So
you're romantic, you Joe.
I wanted, well, I won a trip, and it was, you know, spur of the moment thing since we were there. Yeah, it wasn't even planned.
No, it wasn't. Everybody kept telling them that they were going to come back married, and I'm the only one pretty much that said, you do what you're going to do, because if you go and get married, it's on you. It's up to you. If you think it's the right thing to do, do it. If not, then come back.
We didn't think about it until the night before we left. So anyway,
do you guys do any investigations in cemeteries?
I do. I live near a stately home called Nostell Priory, which is it's a 16th century old priory, which is just outside of Wakefield in West Yorkshire in the UK. And there's a cemetery attached to that called St. Mary's. And I've been in there quite a few times, but also when I grew up, I lived near a cemetery as well, which is quite uncanny because Karen lives near a cemetery now as well.
Well, I live over the road from one, literally cross the road and you're in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Not that I can get in at the moment because the gates are always locked because of COVID. They're not even letting people in there.
Oh, why
I felt a joke coming on there, but I'm just going to that one for myself.
Oh my goodness.
I'm trying to behave. I was going to say, I'll leave it at that.
I was just about to say they're dying to get in there, Karen.
So Eddie says it all the time.
And I'm like,
say that. And he's like, but it's true. He said they're the only ones that are getting in. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We start to get the giggles when we get like this because when we're on investigations and
we're a nightmare.
You spend so much time with each other, you know what trigger points, you know, trigger each other off, and you can say something, you know, and somebody will say something and I'll be like, oh yeah, they're doing this, aren't they? And Karen will just look at me with that little death stare and she'll be like,
little death stare.
And that's it, I'm laughing.
Yeah, so Jodie's not the only one that gets a death stare. Everybody gets it, so it's all right.
I'll tell you what, though, it's funny because it's like sometimes it's like if it's the other way round, Karen's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. But we are a great double act, you know, even working together as the mediums and things like that, we just pick each other, you know, we pick up the same things, don't we? And sometimes
it's mad.
Yeah, in tandem, and we kind of flip from one thing to another, and it's mad because we can be on different ends of, you know, like buildings and places like that, and we'll pick up the same thing in different areas of the building, which is really, really uncanny.
Yeah, and we come back from break and it's like, what did you get? And you've got the same thing, but you've not been anywhere near each other.
That is cool. That is cool. So are you both kind of similar on the same plane as the medium, or is one of you more sensitive than the other?
I don't know, because we pretty much, like I said, we do, whenever we work together, the one starts the sentence, the other one finishes it, because we can interlink with the same and have the same communication at the same time, can't we? And it's not just, we've do live readings and things as well, don't we? And I get really annoyed with Jodie. And I'm going to put this out there, and she knows, but I get really annoyed with her because I'll be drawn to someone. We do these live readings, and I'll look at the comments, and I'll be drawn to someone, and I'll be waiting for the other person, Gary, that works with us as well. I wait for him to finish. I'm there. I've got my person. I've linked in. I'm ready to give my message. Jolene pipes up with the name I was just about to go to. She does it all the time. And I'm like, and she just looks at me as if to say, oops, I've done it again. And then you just give the message.
The thing is, when I come on and do live readings, it's kind of, like I said, it's like Pandora's box. Literally, it just opens up and it's like a, it's like a train wreck waiting to happen, because it's just like bang, 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 bang. And it's, you know, it is funny because she's like, I was just going to say that. So now I've learned to kind of zip it, because obviously you know that I like to talk. So I managed to zip it, which is quite hard for me.
Because that's what happens. I'll be like, she start giving the information, and sometimes I'll just chip in, because what she's saying is what I was going to say anyway, or I'll just chip in at the end and say, and by the way, and this, and then add something on on the end or something. Or other times I just sit there and go, okay, I'll just wait my turn. We do it with interviews, because we do our own interviews, don't we? And that, like, where she's at home now, I'm at home now, nowhere near each other. And we'll be doing an interview together, and I have my questions, and I'm good to go. And I know what questions, certain questions I want to ask this certain person or whatever. And then she comes out and asks my questions. I'm like, will you stop asking my questions? She's like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I don't mean to.
I'm naturally inquisitive, though. So I've got to ask people questions. I feel like I'm sat here going, right, Mark, what are you going to be doing later on this week then? And I'm having to stop myself, because I'm one who likes to extract information from people.
Yeah, and she's very good at it too. I'll give her that.
Yeah, I just love, you know, asking really awkward questions of people. And Karen, I can see her squirming sometimes, like, oh, don't say that. Ooh, don't ask that. But I'm so cheeky, and I just think, no, it's if it needs to be asked, it needs to be asked.
She's like, well, I'm thinking it, so I'm asking it, type thing. But now, because I'm used to doing them more now, because it's took me, you've done them for a while on enough, haven't you? And you're quite used to that type of thing. And obviously, Jodie doing the TV stuff and whatever, so she's used to all that sort of thing. But I decided to start doing it. And I stopped doing it for quite a long time. I've only recently started doing it again, probably in the last 3 months, 4 months. And now I'm like, you know what? This is my opportunity. I'm going to ask this. So I'm just out there now, and I just ask anything and everything. I thought they're either out for it or they won't. It's quite simple. We have had a couple of occasions I've asked something and they've kind of completely skipped the questions that I'm talking about, something completely different. We had that at the festival, didn't we? We won't say who, but there's a couple of people at the festival we interviewed, and we had some questions. It was pretty obvious they didn't want to talk about that certain thing or that topic or whatever, and they just kind of glossed over it very quickly. We're like, okay, moving on. Thought I'd try my luck and just ask anyway.
Okay. So, since you brought it up, the Festival of the Unexplained, can you give us any idea of what that's about?
Well, to begin, I started doing one-day events 2.5 years ago, and they developed into something bigger and bigger and bigger. And then this year, it got to the point where they were getting so big that I finally put my hands up and was like, you, Mark, finally put my hands up and went, I actually need help with this. I can't do all this on my own. As much as I have done and I've run myself ragged all this time, I can't anymore. And then Jolene and I started organizing stuff together. It was like, should we do a virtual event? Because we couldn't go out, so we decided to do a virtual event.
Right.
And we did the first, was it 20 hours, wasn't it? We did 10 hours on Saturday, 10 hours on Sunday, interviewed people from the UK, America, was it New Zealand we had as well. I can't even tell you that many. And then
it was such a success. It was a huge success for the 20-hour one that we, you know, people kept asking us, when are we going to do the next one? So that's what we did, and we were going to put one on in September, but we realized that it needed to be bigger and better than what it was before. So we opted for the weekend before Halloween, and what should have been just a 24-hour, you know, Saturday through the night, Saturday night until 6 o'clock on Sunday, turned into being 41 hours of who's
non-stop content.
And literally, we still had people asking us to be part of that. And, you know, Karen, myself, Dennis, you know, we, you know, wow, a couple of others behind the scenes as well, all, you know, we all sat there and interviewed all the people from the likes of Nick Roth, you know, Mike Gongalves from the Wrath Chasers. We had Miranda Young, who was on your show not long ago.
Yeah,
yep. She's such a sweetheart. So,
we had Johnny Houser, didn't we?
We had
Chris McKinnell.
Yeah.
Ed and Lorraine Warren's grandson. So we had him on, interviewed him. We had Bishop James Cloud from over in the US as well. Then we also had the live ghost walk around Gettysburg as well. We had the Malvern Manor. We had the walk around Malvern Manor. I didn't from Josh Hurd. He did that for us.
Yeah.
It was just madness. It literally started at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning and finished at 11 o'clock Sunday evening. And we actually did
everything.
Pretty much all the interviews between the two of us. Dennis did a couple here and there, but merely all of them, one of us did them, if not both at times. Yeah.
And it had to be a team effort, because you know when you're using the likes of StreamYard, then you have to, you know, you have to get your guests into the studio. You've got to make sure everything's set up. And, you know, when Karen was talking, it was me in the background. When I was talking, Karen was in the background. So for 41 hours, it was kind of like I'm running on adrenaline and coffee and wine and anything I could get my hands on. But I think when we dropped the video for our Bosworth event, which is taking place in September of next year, which is our physical event, I think every single bit of emotion came out, didn't it? Because we were just
8 o'clock on the Sunday night, we were undecided, because we'd already we'd been organising this event for next year, and we were like, right, shall we just announce it? You know, we're having such a huge virtual weekend with guests from UK and America, shall we just announce it that weekend? We got the audience anyway, so we might as well just do it. So we decided on the Sunday, we were like, are we going to definitely do it today? We're like, yeah, come on, let's do it. And literally put a post out on the Sunday afternoon saying at 8 o'clock, there's going to be a big announcement. So we've organized a physical events. We do physical events anyway, but normally they're only one day events, and we have more like local teams as speakers, and not so well known people as speakers and store holders and things for us throughout the year. But the Bosworth 2021 event is the big one, basically, where we are having that many guests, flying over from America to physically be at the event. We are starting off. Oh, he's bringing it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got, there's different tickets. We start off on the Friday morning and we're going to two historic locations. We're not saying where yet. We're not actually announcing that. The Friday evening, then we're having a buffet. We're having ghost stories from a lovely gentleman called Stephen Mercer. And then we're having a seance. I should have said during the day, we've actually got a local, we've got a historian, Penny Griffiths Morgan, which is well known here. So we've got her on board and she's our historian for the day during the Friday. Next we've got Stephen Friday night. Then Saturday will be exhibitors, speakers. Then we've got our shindig, so we've got our party Saturday night. And then we've got our speakers and our storeholders on the Sunday. But our speakers, we've started announcing. We did announce actually some of them during the weekend. I'll let you start with the first ones that we announced and I'll do the rest.
Okay, so the Friday we have Penny Griffiths Morgan, who is an author and historian who has written a couple of books here in the UK. And we've got Stephen Mercer, who is the Victorian ghost hunter. And he's going to be telling some ghost stories from his hometown and also the surrounding areas of Bosworth, where we're actually holding the event. And then we have Sarah and Phil Wyman from Are You Haunted, which is an Amazon Prime series. We have Miranda Young from the Ghost Biker Exploration. She's coming across. Mike Gals, Chris Smith, and Brannon Smith from the Wrath Chasers. They're all three going to be there. We have Daniel Klass and Rob Thompson from TV's The Ghost Finders. They're going to be there. Oh my goodness.
We've got Patty Negri. She's announced. I'm trying to think of the ones we've announced that we care allowed to say. We've got Patty Negri. She's coming over as well. I'm trying to think, is there anyone we've missed? The Wrath Chasers, Patty, Miranda, Daniel, Sarah, Phil, Stephen, Penny, Rob. I think that's what's been announced so far. I don't want to say anybody else, just in case we haven't.
So are you gonna try to like intertwine this with any kind of a broadcast like this or anything? Or is it just going to be all physical, live, on the spot?
At the moment, there's something that we're kind of discussing in the pipeline, because obviously we want as many people to come to the event as possible. So, you know, just depending on how well it's received and how well the ticket sales sell, you know, we would be looking to do some form of, you know, just back, you know, like a little bit of a pilot show, just to interview people who are there, you know, guests as well as the celebrities and things. But obviously any of the lectures and things like that, we're not going to be streaming, because, you know, it is exclusive. It is an exclusive paranormal event, and it's the biggest in the UK. So this is the reason why we want to kind of keep that content secret, but we will be doing some form of interviews, you know, back office sort of thing.
Oh, it makes sense. I was just wondering if you're going to try to do any kind of an intertwining of it. So with all your guests and everything, is there, and I'm not asking you to say it if it is, just maybe a little hint that might throw people a line saying maybe they want to go after this. Do you have any special appearance guests that you have lined up, but you don't want to say who it is?
Very possible. I'm not saying yes, and I'm not saying no.
Potentially. Anyway, moving on, Mark. Anything else? <on the question? laughs>
You throw something like that at
look, you've been listening to me too much, and just throw the questions out there.
So you're going to be hoping that this COVID-19 BS is going to be...
No, we're not hoping. It's going to be.
I
think it's out there.
Yeah, I think because the UK have a vaccine now, it's only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, because did you or did you not mention you're doing chemo?
I finished in October.
Well, that makes this present condition more dangerous for the people like you and me. I've been through chemo and radiation treatments big time. I had leukemia, so
yeah.
I've been kind of like under house arrest since you started.
Yeah, so. I've been like that since March. So I literally, I moved into this house that I'm living in now. I moved into it, and then the week after we went into lockdown, within 2 weeks of moving into the house, I was still working because I'm a support worker with young ladies with adults with autism. So I was still working. So we moved in, went back to work for a week. And then 2 weeks after we moved in, I was diagnosed. So I've been literally in lockdown since I moved into my house. So I haven't even been to the local town or anything, because I've not been allowed to go out. So we're both in the same, because it's the thing here, they're doing all the elderly first and then support workers and so on and so on and so on and so on. And then it's wherever you come on the list is when you get the vaccine.
Right.
Right. So they're doing the elderly first over there?
Yeah.
Then they're going to be doing the health workers and the essentials?
Yeah, people that are working in the care homes and things, they're going to get done when the elderly get done. So they're all done, I think, at the same time, aren't they?
Yeah, because they were talking about the first responders here, the ones that are the nurses and the doctors that are having to take care of the patients.
That are all the health workers and all that, yeah.
Doing them up first and then hitting the elderly after that and then working their way down. That's
what they're doing here.
The plan, so. So yeah, but yeah, the vaccine that we wind up getting is from Pfizer, and God, I can't remember the name. BioNTech, it's a German company.
Yeah.
They I actually trust that vaccine more than I would any of the others, because Pfizer has a good reputation of being a fairly good pharmaceutical company. So, anyway, is there anything else that you'd like to add for tonight or?
Well, with the going back to the festival, the tickets are on sale now. There's a different ticket you can. There's four different ticket types. So you can come for the day, or you can come from Friday morning through to Sunday afternoon, or you can just come from Friday evening through to Sunday, or you can just come on Saturday morning and come Saturday day, night, and Sunday day, or you can buy a ticket either just for Saturday or just for Sunday. We do know that there are some people flying over to come to our event, public that is, that have commented like, right, yeah, I'm coming over, and they've actually looking to book tickets. So we will be expecting to have some different people from the US coming over and purchasing tickets from us, as well as the UK as well.
Cool.
And obviously on the tickets from the below.
Yep.
But also, you can catch up, you know, you can catch up with us on the Festival of the Unexplained Facebook page, because we're always on there. We're always announcing, you know, new guests. We're always putting videos together. We're always doing live streams. And it just kind of gives you a little bit more of an insight as to how we're going to work the weekend and things like that. But the Saturday night is just going to be fantastic. You know, we've got a live band, you know, there's quite a lot of food included as well in the ticket prices. The hotel itself has a spa, and you know, it's just a beautiful hotel. So we're really excited.
Yeah, there's a lot of events and things that don't include, like we've included, like Geraldine said, we've included food for Friday lunch, Friday evening. We've included food Saturday evening as well, and that's all included in your ticket price, which normally that isn't done. You know, you don't normally get your food included at all. So we've just tried to do things a little bit differently. And
we also, we also understand that obviously with COVID at the moment, how hard it is for people financially. So what we've done is we've introduced payment plans as well. So people want to chip away at their ticket prices, they can do, you know, and we're quite happy to do 4 monthly installments, you know, or 3 monthly installments. It's just, you know, manageable for people, because we know for people to come over from America, it's air tickets, it's the ticket to the event, but also it's the hotel as well. But I can guarantee if anybody does come over from the US, they'll be made to feel very, very welcome. Yeah. But also they'll have the best time with us UK girls.
I'm pretty sure my medicine's legal there too.
No, your medicine's legal almost anywhere except for here.
I know, that sucks.
But yeah, everybody's welcome. You know, like I said, you can purchase your tickets and you don't have to pay for it in full.
That would be fun as can be, man. Like I said, I have never in my life been outside of the United States. I've even had the opportunity to go to Mexico and I never took it.
I didn't either. Wow. I had the same I had an opportunity like that once too, and I didn't do it.
So I'm just, you know, just kind of stuck here.
But that just sounds like really awesome event. That would be just totally fun all weekend long, because I've seen some of the events that they have here, and they don't go all out like that with bands. And
he went there, Joe.
I just seen that. He went there. Can't see me. I've gone bright red, so it's okay.
We got a nickname for that guy.
He is, yes.
Dr. Perv.
Dr. Perv. And I'm the one that gave him that nickname, thank you.
I did that.
No, I did.
No, I did.
The first one. I'm the first one. That
or whatever.
You're the one that took it further.
Oh, wow. Anyway,
on another note, not only do you get to see all the celebrities, you get to see Karen and I as well.
Yes.
We'll be on hand, Tom, to find your autograph if you
wish.
That
would actually be great.
And they said that Miranda Young was on that ballot too.
I know.
Yeah, Miranda Young. Yeah, she's one of our guests as well.
We had her as a guest. She was awesome.
She's lovely.
Is she going to be one of them?
Yes.
Yes, she is. She is such a sweetheart. And, you know, we interviewed her for the festival, and she's just, she's super, super lovely. So, yeah, we thought, no, she needs to be part of our, you know, part of our
event. Definitely.
We talked to her and Christy Sumner.
Yeah, Christy's lovely. I interviewed Christy. She was part of not the last festival. She wasn't part of the October one. Christy was part of the August event that we did. Cool. She's lovely as well. Like I said, we basically, the August and the October events, we tried to have different guests, basically, for both. But anybody wants to go back and look at those, they're on our Facebook page. The October one is also on the website. So if you want to go back and watch any of those streams, many of the interviews we did for that, then you can go on there and watch them. They'll still be on there. And they're also on our YouTube channel as well. So you can go back and watch.
So did you want to plug any of those? We've got your Festival of the Unexplained down here. Your YouTube channel. Would you like to
give that? So that's just youtube.com, Festival of the Unexplained. Then we've got nice and simple.
Facebook. How do they find you on Facebook?
Yeah, and then Facebook is where we're on there too. So you can find us on Facebook on Festival of the Unexplained as well. So, like I said, we've got Facebook, we've got YouTube, and we've got our website. So if you're interested in tickets, then the website's the place to go, which is scrolling across the bottom of the screen.
Yep.
Right.
All righty. Well, Joe, anything else?
Nope. This is all I got to say is this is going to be our last show until next year.
Yep. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
So everybody have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll see you after the holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Wow.
Happy holidays, everybody.
So, and at the same time, I'm going to say happy birthday to my oldest daughter. Because today is her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I don't know if she watches or not. But, you know. So stay safe, everybody. Till next time.
Yep. Stay safe. Remember, the vaccine's on its way.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you for having us.
For coming in and
thank you for having us.
It was great. Oh, here we go. I got to.